Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And on this Unspun podcast, we are going to think global and act local. That's what we're doing. And it's coming around to my favorite subject of the week, off-leash dog parks. It's time for
Unspun. So what, you're saying your favorite subject's not kids' pool anymore?
Oh no, that's next. I would like to know, actually, officially today on February the 5th, 2026, as we record this edition of Unspun Podcast, I'm officially asking Vancouver Park Board if they have posted the job openings for lifeguards at kids' pool. The ones they say they can never find on like 3 days before the opening weekend.
Yeah.
How about you post them now? How about you post them now? Open
Why
that
not?
Pool, free kids pool. Because I freed the dogs, George. I freed the dogs.
Yes. You sent me some stuff on this, and this was something about leashing dogs in a park.
Well,
what was it?
A quick summary. Pacific Spirit Park in the endowment lands at UBC, right? This beautiful old growth forest space that, you know, has been endowed to Metro Vancouver. We're keeping it in its pristine way. It wasn't until 2001, I just learned this actually, it wasn't until 2001 that there were any restrictions on the park in terms of on-leash, off-leash, cycle, you know, hike, whatever, horses, anything. It was just a park that people used. Can you imagine? But there were some restrictions that came in then, fine. So there are some leash optional, some no dogs allowed, and some off-leash trails, okay? Everybody's been using them. And of 4 million visitors over 4 years, 0.002% of those visits included a negative interaction of some kind with a dog. Now, I could go deep into this, but I'll tell you this. I've been walking in those trees, as you see from my paintings and my postings and my dog pictures. I'm the crazy dog lady. I'm in there every day and have been for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you I've seen personally like 4 negative interactions with dogs. And there are some irresponsible dog owners for sure. But this whole thing at Metro Vancouver was born out of a very powerful single individual with their name on a building out at UBC. Well, you can Google it. They had a bad interaction, so it was their mission to change and restrict and whatever to Pacific Spirit Park. And a bunch of us decided, you know what? I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. I think people should have access. And in particular, people with physical disabilities who definitely use that park in ways that you can't, you know, just go hike at the North Shore. Anyway.
Well, you know, in my experience in politics, you know, pardon the pun, is it? Dog owners are rabid. So you bring a motion. I think Adrian Carr brought a motion forward about, forget what it was. And it was because somebody had said something during, so it was something related to your dogs outside of stores and they had, I can't remember what it was. It didn't seem like a big deal to me, but oh man, it made dog owners mad. And generally they show up and non-dog owners, dogs with people without dogs. Can't be bothered. So, you know, you get this slightly unbalanced viewpoint of things, not to say that this concept of Pacific Spirit wasn't right or wrong, but it is an issue if you're in politics, unless it's really, 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 really key, don't go there. It's just like a nightmare because they literally come out and they are strong advocates for their animals. And, you know, I have to decide, is it worth this battle? Generally, the only thing that dog owners are happy about with politicians is adding dog parks. But generally in Mailtown, almost all our parks are dog parks now because we can't go there. I will say to the defense of non-dog owners, as a parent in Yaletown, it has always been a problem. When the kids are small, we'd go to the park and people would let their dogs run around in the park playground area. And you talk to them. And more often than not,
that's an irresponsible dog owner.
They would just tell us that they didn't care. They didn't care.
That's an irresponsible dog owner. I would never, ever do that. When I go to Tadlow Park, my dogs are on leash and I walk far enough away from the playground because even the most docile of dog can get triggered in a way that you would never even know by a little tiny human that they don't know that might grab their tail or run at them or trip over them or whatever. I mean, that's just common sense. And it is the same with Pacific Spirit Park. I mean, we don't need to do more than 5 minutes on this subject, and we could do a sidebar on this.
You won.
But we won. And with the help of, and I will give full credit to the head of the Committee on Parks at Metro Vancouver. By the way, Metro Vancouver should not be worrying itself about dog parks when they have enough to clean up in their own house, let me tell you. But Rebecca Bly stepped up, very commonsensical of her to do the due diligence required. And I listened to her on CKNW while walking my dogs in the park by total fluke. And she's so commonsensical on this subject. So I have great respect for how much effort and patience she used in this. And one more thing I want to leave you with, George, that I learned, and this is good for what you do and just people listening, because there was the petition that was going around and there was the email with the copy and paste this and plug in the email addresses and just send this to the members. While sitting through listening to the live stream of the meeting, many at the meeting referenced how their email inboxes certainly were flooded and they glazed right over the copy and paste. They don't even really, that's a campaign. But what changed their minds was the individually unique written emails that also came with a solution. And I was one of those who sent in an email, quite proud of myself, because I did. I wrote passionately about what I feel is right. And I gave options for solutions that might address some of the concerns that staff were bringing forward in the report that they did, period. Okay, let's talk about... let's continue to be local. Why don't we just, how do you feel about one night of fireworks for $2 million with taxpayer money in the city of Vancouver?
Oh, it's a hard one because of course the fireworks are fun and I go to them every year and I love the event and, it's right down the street from me. So, you know, I spend the money and I pay extra for the seats because it's more fun and better seats. And so they make money off me. I probably would pay more actually. It's, I think it's $60 for the seats and stands, which is a pretty good deal. I probably would pay $100. So it's really late to make a decision like that, spend $2 million without any real chance of getting the kind of sponsorship you need to underwrite it to a level that would make sense. It opens up a whole bunch of like, well, what about us? With every arts group in the city who has been underfunded forever. I mean, if you look over the last 30 years, arts funding has not gone up. It's stayed the same, which makes therefore has gone down. So, you know, it's very, a very challenging thing. But then you go, well, we're a big city. We should be doing this. But, and, you know, but it should be in the budget. So you should say, okay, this is a line item in the budget that we're going to do. It's going to cost $2 million. And of course, we all know what the main cost of the fireworks, besides the fireworks themselves, is policing, which is the case with every event in the city, which is why so many great events stop, like the Canada Day fireworks. Policing, the cost of policing, which the city council clearly has no control over. The police say we need this, we need that. You know, they charge whatever they want. The events are required to have policing, these bigger events. And so, and of course, we know the devastation that what happens if, you know, when you have got proper barriers up, what happened last spring. So it's a tough one. I really think the city should be doing big events. But then I also think last minute, $2 million, is this a political play for the election in October? Will this win him votes? It could backfire him. How many people who come to the fireworks are actually Vancouverites? Probably 15, 20%. Most of them are from the suburbs. Nah.
I mean, I just think that the priorities of this city in this moment should be more laser focused than one night of fireworks for a big chunk of money. There will be fireworks in the city around FIFA. There will be lots of wild celebrations and things happening in this calendar year. For me, it was like, really? Like, well, what are we cutting in the city so that people don't have an increase in their property taxes? And then at the same time, we're spending on that. Like, it comes back to like, can we just pull back and do a bird's eye view of what things are costing us in the city and what we're spending money on, and then make decisions as a city of the things that we want? Because I agree with you. I think the big events are fun and important. And I think that we have become a no fun city. But do I want $1-2 million fireworks night, or do I want patios all the way down Granville Street that could turn that into a place that people actually go to meet and see, and it improves the environment and it has, you know, eyeballs on the street, so there's less graffiti and fewer broken windows and all that thing. Like the stopgap things that seem to happen, like that plaza between the art gallery and the law courts. I mean, sure. But like, does that really make a huge difference down there? It definitely choked the city and how you get around it. I barely go downtown, so I wouldn't necessarily use that space the way, you know, tourists coming in on cruise ships might. I get it. There is a reason for it. Everything doesn't need to be for me. But right. The way money is spent matters to me as yeah. a taxpayer in the city. And I would like to look at what are all the options of what we can spend this bunch of money. And like you said, that sort of what about me in other big events like arts festivals, and you know, like the jazz festival isn't able to do certain things because FIFA's coming to town and you can't do a thing close to the venue at the same time as this event because we signed this away. Like there's a lot more to this than just don't y'all love fireworks.
Yeah, there's evidence-based programming and policy making, and then there's politically based. This is 100% right. politically based. If Ken Simmons said, and maybe he's addressed it a little bit, but what is the loss of revenue by not in the city for us? So obviously restaurants and bars. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, we look at people just seem to come in, sit down, watch the thing, and then get out. I feel like I'm not sure
totally.
The model is 100% there. Maybe it's for SkyTrain makes a lot of money on the trains. So maybe TransLink should be donating money. So right. This is a challenge. I mean, this is politically motivated 100%. But then quite often a lot of good things are politically motivated.
It used to be sponsored by smokes.
Yeah,
it used
exactly.
to be sponsored by cigarettes. And that was the money that was, you know, we need to spend on these events because we're a terrible product that's hurting people.
Yeah. And sponsorship, dude, not, I mean, it's just tough out there. So,
it is.
You know, my feeling is this, what I would have rather seen is that, you know, that he announced that there would be some kind of, you know, plan for that in the budget. You can't
for next year
or future council, but say we should be having 4 big events every year and we should be paying for that. And we're going to put that in the budget next year.
Right.
That is no fireworks this year. It's going to cost us $8 million. That's 1% tax. Is that something, you know, you want? Let's talk about it in the budget process. As opposed
I like
to
that.
So where's this money? This money has, they have a set budget. They can't move money around. You know, where is this $2 million coming from in the operating budget? That's what I would like to know, because something has to get cut. Or maybe their budget's too rich. Maybe they should, which begs the question, maybe it should be the negative 2% tax. This is represent $2 million represents about 1/3 of a tax, percent tax, right? About $8 million or 1/4 now. So $8 million for every percentage tax increase. So you're looking at a 40% tax increase or tax on us that we're using for our taxes.
Right.
So is that,
and if taxes aren't going up, then why didn't they go down?
Right. Yeah. And are you happy about
George spending? George for mayor. You promised, you pinky swore that you'd tell us here first. Let's talk, speaking of budgets, the provincial, obviously we are in campaign mode and attack mode and all the things in BC. Lots of discussion over the budget and who's to blame and the spending in our province and just how out of whack everything is and into the tens of billions of dollars. Every time I see a headline about it, though, I do some math back and go, all of the highways in the province were washed out. Then there were like 3 years of catastrophic forest fires. And then there was, you know, the tariff trade upheaval of uncertainty in the global community. Like I hate the word unprecedented because it seems like everything that's happening right now is unprecedented, but there are a bunch of things that have happened, particularly in this province, that could not have been in a budget prior to, that have cost ridiculous amounts of money. Now I put that aside and I look at the amount of government bloat that has happened as well, the expansion of people within 30%. The government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's this and there's this, and both things can be true at the same time, which equals that massive number, right? That we're all on the hook for, and our grandchildren will be on the hook for, by the looks of it.
Yeah, no doubt any government in North America, and certainly this province, has been challenged by a lot of unknown situations, COVID, Trump. But what this government hasn't done is think big, and has not done nothing since 2017 of significance besides build a crappy bridge to New Westminster, a little bit of highways. So they're basically, pavement politics is all they've done. What have they built?
Finished site C that they fought at first.
That wasn't theirs.
Yeah, but they
So they
finished
can't
it.
take,
I mean, it is. Thank God. Can you imagine if we didn't have
yeah,
that?
I know, but they can't take credit for that. They have not done anything
No,
in 10 years
fair.
of
I know.
significance to infuse the economy with the kind of money that this province relies on to be prosperous. And that includes pipelines to the north and anything else up in the north. That's why people in the north are so mad, because there's nothing happening besides that. And so
Right.
they've done nothing for this province. And of course, these guys never leave Victoria. They don't understand the province at all. The NDP are based in the Lower Mainland and Vancouver Island. They never go into the interior or the north. They have no clue. They don't barely come to Vancouver, these guys. They really have no clue of how this province operates and how people live their daily lives. And as a result, we have these massive deficits because we have a government that refuses to do big projects and refuses to be understand how our economy actually works in this province and doesn't instill that kind of process that you need to do. So you end up, by not doing that, when shit hits the fan like it has the last several years, you have nowhere to go. You have no
No
money coming in. You
contingency.
have no th nothing, no projects happening that stimulate the economy. You get nothing. And so you have an anti-stimulus, anti-everything government in a trying time. So as a result, we get multi-billion-dollar deficits and the biggest debt this province has ever seen. Well done, NDP. Good job. You did it. Like what? It's like there's
And then
talk.
the pushback against the NDP, the BC NDP, are the now BC Conservative, because BC United and the BC Liberals gone. So we got the BC Conservative Party and the Green Party. Green Party's like, okay. So basically, it's a two-party system here, right? NDP and BC Conservatives. But there's no conservative that's running on just normalizing and fixing what you just explained. It's all layered with, and I got to get rid of SOGI 123, and I've got to make sure that there are no trans girls in boys' sports, and that we have, it's like, and truth and reconciliation is a bunch of garbage. And like, there's just so much extremism in the conservative side that the moderate and even fiscally conservative minded taxpayer cannot hold their nose and vote for a conservative who is so far to the right. So the NDP continues. Like, where politically, where does the middle go?
Well, it will go the Conservatives, I think, no matter what in the next election. It just will. It just has to. And so the hope is, I think by moderates, people in the middle, is this leadership campaign will lead to somebody who's not, not
Cuckoo.
against a lot of these that frankly are such, like, I know people are passionate about gender and all this stuff and all these things, like, oh my God, can we just talk about what I just talked about? Why are we not talking about these
Yeah,
things? Why are we
which
not
is my
talking
point.
about
Which is my point.
infrastructure and all this stuff? Why are we not talking? Why is this not? Why are these things the things that we talk about? The same in America. Why are these things becoming so predominant that and swaying voters in a way that is in like it, the level of which it does it doesn't even make
Do you know
sense.
how many trans women are in high school competing in girls' sports in the country?
Yeah, no, it's the numbers are mu so minimal. Yeah.
Four.
So
Four.
it's
And all four, their teams want them on the team. Four.
yeah, and there's nothing, the debate is, that's fine, but it's not, it
But
shouldn't
it's
be,
cuckoo that that's a
it shouldn't be driving the
top line
agenda for
thing.
how we run our
No, it's
province.
crazy.
So we
It's
have this, you know.
we got to call it crazy, because that's I think how America got to where it was. It's like, well, he's allowed to have his ideas, because we're going to talk about America, but we got to talk about Carney Poilievre and apparently Stephen Harper. Speaking of conservatives, like, listening to Stephen Harper speak on the 20th anniversary of his government that there's this big, like, I don't know, coronation. It's been a few days of like very Stephen Harper-y, but so surprising. Who knew that Stephen Harper and Jason Kenney would be the two standing up to say
George Bush, you know, right? Jr. You know, this is the age of, you know, extremism making the previous extremists look moderate. So this is where we're at. I mean, that's the challenge with extremism. You swing back and forth and the people in the middle are going, well, that's happening. And so here in BC, are we going to swing from the far left, which is where we are, to a far right? Federally, we did swing far left with Justin Trudeau. Basically, Mark Carney is a conservative. He's definitely a blue liberal. He's a Paul Martin liberal. So that, from what I understand, Stephen Harper's consulting with him. He's kind of guruing him. Clearly, that must mean he doesn't like the conservative leadership. I mean, why wouldn't he be helping him?
Clearly, he does not, because he waited until after Pierre Poilievre won the whatever convention, yay, you're our guy. And immediately after Poilievre finished his continuously divisive rhetoric within his speech, right? Blame game 2.0. And Harper steps up and goes, this is a time like no other time. And Canadians need to all get behind our leader, who is Mark Carney. Like, it was refreshing to say the least to hear that out of the mouth of somebody who had to this time just been so staunchly right of center, and you know, like getting rid of climate change research because we don't want that out there. Like, that kind of guy is now like, okay, well, I do love the fact that people prior to the election of Mark Carney were like, he is Justin Trudeau 2.0 and the world will come to an end if this man is elected, are now all the way around to he's basically a conservative, you know, or Pierre Poilievre saying he's stolen all of our ideas. At what point did politics become a place where ideas of our collective elected officials are owned by a side? Like, I thought it was people coming together to come up with the best ideas for our country. Like, I hope that is what happens because of the threat we're facing from the U.S. administration right now. That the sum of this is that we all get on the same page within our country and start fighting outward instead of each other.
Well, theft is a great compliment. Obviously, stealing somebody else's ideas is a compliment, and certainly in the arts community, back to that. But I think liberals federally have always been that the way they all steal everybody's ideas. That's what they do because they can't come up with their own. That's sort of the.
I think you missed my point that the ideas are supposed to be all of ours. Our taxpayers' dollar pays all of the elected officials. So how is, if I vote for one party, is the other party whose salary I pay, their idea is not mine? I can't say that's a good idea. Let's do that. That's stealing an idea, or is that just listening and being like, okay, that makes sense. Let's do that.
I'm not saying this is the case with
I'm talking spin
with Carney right now, but it's more about do you have any of your own ideas kind of thing, right? So the challenge with if you win an election based on usually ideas you win an election because the other guys are losing, basically, whatever reason. But generally, you should go into a campaign with a couple of ideas. I talk about this all the time, like two things you want to achieve in your term. And then the rest of it is noise. But right now, you know, so if you have no ideas and you win an election, and then you have to steal. But I think it's, you know,
but it's a year in and the ideas
in right. Council is always like, I would put these motions forward and we could talk about Pete Frye's motion. You put an idea forward and they would go and they'd steal it and make it their own by just changing a bit. And quite often staff would say, well, that's not a big enough change to justify your amendment to his motion. You're just basically wanting to put your ownership and your stamp on George's motion. I'm paraphrasing, but basically that's what they would do. They would take my ideas, rejig them, and make them their own and say it was their idea. And they would make an announcement, and I'm going, and it worked every time. And sometimes
I would argue that regular everyday people wouldn't give a shit whose idea it is and just be happy that the good ideas make it to the top. Like,
Well,
And
that's
I
nice.
think that's my point. And that's taking the spin out of it, right? Like I understand that that's the game, but the taxpayer and the everyday, I'm going to work, I'm bringing home my paycheck, I'm t paying my taxes, I'm taking care of my family, I'm looking out for my neighbor, I'm trying to stay, healthy and engaged and do the right thing for my community. Doesn't really care whose idea it is. If it's a good idea, let's do it. If it's a bad idea, let's not. Right? I just think that the policy wonk part and the political spin, frankly, gets in the way of doing good work. And that's why I think you should run for mayor, because I think you did good work and they tried to steal your ideas. So back to that. Ice out at FIFA. Your
Yeah,
thoughts?
Pete Fry put a motion forward with Sean Orr as a seconder about ICE not being allowed to be in Canada for the soccer games, football games for FIFA. Well, America's not playing in, and this credit to Keith Morgan, one of our biggest fans, Nick Keith, who texted me this. He said, "This is funny because America's not playing in." And I don't follow sport, as you know. I'm not a big sports
I
person.
know. I tried to invite you to Super Bowl and you never even got back
Yes,
to me. I'm
but
like, that's the one with the ball.
yeah, this one
Chili dogs to
I
be
played
eaten.
soccer and of course had kids in soccer, so I'm familiar with the sport.
Oh, okay. Football.
But the fact that America's not playing
any games in
the
Canada
ICE
because
won't be
Canada hosts.
here. Why would ICE
No.
be here? So it's completely, so going back to your point, 100% spin, 100%, he announced his mayor. I went to his event, by the way, on Friday, his
Oh,
announcement.
did you? How was it?
It was packed. I didn't stay long enough to watch the announcement because it was taking too long. I'm like, okay. I said hi to him because I've known Pete for a long time.
Yeah,
And
good person.
so,
Good
yeah, he's a
person.
good guy. I mean, I don't agree with
Yeah,
him politically,
exactly. But
but
how
he's a good guy.
beautiful, George, that you can be friends
Of course.
and not agree.
That's part of the fun of friendships sometimes.
Yes.
I grew up in a family where the four kids and my parents, okay, debate tonight. We're going to talk. You're on this side. You're on that side. You're like, it's dinner.
Same,
By the end of it, we're,
same.
you know, yeah. So
Yeah.
that was where I came in. So I just think this was a bit ridiculous. It got him a blurb in the paper or whatever that was. So yeah, sure,
Yeah.
great. But
Well, it was a fear sort of stirring. Like, did you know that there are ICE offices in Vancouver now?
yeah, we know
It's like,
that.
well, yeah, they're border
This
control agencies.
is where you get your
Yeah.
Nexus pass. Those
That's
guys?
where you get your pass. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been
Anyway,
here a while. They're,
but we got like just a few minutes here because we had to edit some stuff in the middle after I ranted about dogs and your microphone got messed up. So timing's going to be a little weird on this particular week, but I want to talk a little bit about the US because so much has been happening south of the border. Like watching Jimmy Kimmel on Monday, he's like, Mondays are always busy because we have to sort of catch up on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday that we missed because he only does 4 days a week on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And he said, but this Monday was the Monday of all Mondays because there was so much that he could have just like rattled off a list of things that happened since Thursday and said nothing about each item, and the monologue would have been over. Like, it's just, there's so much happening.
And to be clear, almost all the Epstein files are out now, right? And how many people have been arrested and put in jail in America? In
One
America.
woman, one
One woman.
woman.
Amanda pointed that out to me this morning, and I thought, and we know it was Ghislaine, was Giselle
Ghislaine
Max,
Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, Ghislaine
So
Maxwell. And she's in
guilty
a
as
country cl
charged.
club. She's moved out of the sex offender prison
Yeah,
into
she's
a
out of
spot
here.
that she can take visitors and do yoga. It's a
And has a
spa.
dog. And has a dog.
Yeah. But
See,
can you imagine how
so
much
if
she
she
can bring
was,
down now, though? Oh my
but if she's guilty based on their system,
course
then
she is.
you're telling me there's nobody else in these files that needs to go to jail? Like, it just seems
That's
hard
why
to
we're glad we have France and Poland and the UK and Germany and all of these EU countries that are like, we're now looking into it because this isn't an American problem. This is a global
but
sex
people are
trafficking
resigning
ring.
across
Yeah.
the globe, and nobody has resigned in America yet. And so far, the only thing that we can hope for, and
One
it doesn't mean
lawyer,
that it
one
will be
law firm
the.
guy.
And then, but the internationally that they the, all that those things that are going to be happening, and they're going to expose more of the information and talk more about all these people. But also, the Clintons are going to be testifying, which they've delayed and delayed and delayed. And then the story I saw was that the reason they delayed it because they wanted to wait until all the files were released so they can go to town on Donald Trump.
There's still 300,000, I think.
Yeah, there's still damage, but there's enough out there to have a good chat.
Exactly. But there's still the worst is being held. The thing that I find so interesting, and with every report, whether it's on a major news outlet or you're watching it by independent news on social media platforms, pundits, people much more connected than you and I, the redactions, you know, in the email that says, you know, I got a new one. She's super cute. And 9 years old. Why? Well, you can see it's from Jeffrey Epstein, but the to field is blacked out. Like,
yeah.
Who are we protecting in that redaction?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much of that. So, and the I feel for the victims. Again, we got to come back around to the women who have been, like, thousands of women,
mm-hmm.
1,500 that we know of that are staunchly standing in the face of this storm, who have had absolutely no restitution. Like, there's been nothing for them other than putting themselves at risk, massive risk. Imagine the bravery involved in standing up like this. And some of them talking about being like single digit small children who were abused by these powerful, powerful, mostly white men. But that's not just a whole bunch of right-wing Republicans. While there are many of those, like the Bill and Melinda Gates stuff, like watching Melinda Gates trying to talk around her NDA was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Deepak Chopra. Like,
yeah.
And Richard Branson. How many people went to Richard Branson Island right now are going, whoa, what did I see there?
Yes. And with Clinton testifying, he was in the room where it happened, as it were. So we will be interested to see what he has to say about all these people, because he doesn't give two F's anymore. I don't think he's, what is he, 80? He's old.
He's 80, and I think he's got some significant health problems as well, which makes him even more of a threat. But it also sets a precedent that you can call in a president to testify about these files.
Right.
So that,
it's going to be fun times watching all this. Oh my God, it's so brutal. Just like every time I see it, I'm like, this is too much. It's too much.
It is too much, but we got to stay on it, even if it makes us sick to our stomach, because, you know, we haven't even talked about ICE in Minnesota and what's happening. I don't know, with Steve Bannon screaming about how ICE officers are going to surround voting places in the midterm elections. Like, we got a lot of stuff to keep on top of. Even though we are thinking global, we are acting local. So on Unspun Podcast, you can follow along. I love following you on your social media. You know I do, especially on that platform with that guy that might also be arrested. At George
_
Affleck, at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. Follow us and leave your comments and give us tips if you hear things. We do appreciate our fans here at the Unspun Podcast. Like, subscribe, do all those things, right?
Yeah, and I have to go do a big edit now for this thing. So
I appreciate you, George.
I'll see you next week.
Peace out.
Bye.